You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
We're going to open up our Bibles. We're in the middle or coming to the end of our followers series. We're talking about what it is to follow Jesus and what that means, what that looks like, the difference that makes, and how that can impact your world. Today we're going to talk about not just that you are a disciple, but also every single person in this room can also be a discipler. That you're called to reach into somebody else's life, make a difference in their world, impact their life, and bring them on the journey of discipleship as well. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Before we get into today's message, just a bit of great news for our Chester campus, the best campus of Audacious Church. How many people believe that? The best of the best. We've got 7 campuses, and you are the best without doubt. I was in Geneva last week. They're okay. I'm in Cardiff next week. They're like average. But you guys are elite. Don't tell them. I'll be telling them the same next week. But one of the amazing things, we're one church, 7 locations. And you know, when God moves, we can move in different ways in different campuses, and we've been taking hold of this building over the last few months. And some of you know we're across the road, moved into this building about 6 months ago, been doing 59 services on a Sunday in this small room, waiting for our auditorium, which is through there. It's going to be 400, 500, 600 hopefully seats in there, which is going to be good. And you guys have been giving faithfully. We want to thank you and honor you so much for your giving. And you've promised over a 2-year period to bring in £224,000 as a campus, which, give yourselves a round of applause. That is incredible faith. And you know, people have been giving to the house of God to build buildings and see amazing things for generations. And last week, we were in a cathedral in Geneva, and I was with our campus pastor there. And we're like, how many millions would this building cost in today's day and age? And some, you know, people faithfully gave in that generation. And generations later, people are still looking at what God's doing. And it's our turn now. That's all we're doing today. It's our turn now. And so we want to thank you for your giving. But you know, to get in this building, to open the doors, it cost £220,000. And £160,000 of that was legal fees. Oh, boring. Architects, plans, you know. And then another £60,000 of that was to do some of the building changes we needed to do to be able to do this. And we had to put new fire exits in. Again, really boring stuff. But we made a decision as a leadership team over the last 2 weeks that we're going to cover that centrally so that the whole vision offering that you guys are giving towards can be into our new facility. So we're believing that God's going to accelerate his plan here in Chester. And that's good news, amen? So let's keep giving. Let's keep giving in faith. Keep stretching. You know, what we've seen God doing in 18 years of Audacious Church is enable us in Chester to go faster, quicker. And so we're believing that we'll go from 3 in here to 500-seater, 600-seater, one service for 2 weeks, and then you'll need another service. So don't get too comfortable too quick. We're going to see, you know, a city church here that is for the region of North Wales, the Wirral, Cheshire. And so let's keep praying and keep believing God. Yes?
Yes?
Amen. Let's open our Bibles, Matthew 4. You can just open the tablet of your heart because you've recited the whole Bible. And it says, verse 16 and 17, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. Come, follow me. Simple but profound words. How many people know it's easy to hear, hard to obey? Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will also send you out to be fishers for people. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. See, Jesus' commission is not that we would just be a disciple, but that we would also make disciples. And again, every single one of us can be somebody that makes a real difference in other people's lives. We can all disciple somebody else. So before we go on, let's pray. I wonder if you put your hand on your heart and let's believe God to speak to us today. God, we just thank you for every amazing person in this room. Thank you for two full services. And we thank you, God, that as your word goes out, it never returns void, but it shall accomplish that for which you've sent it. So we pray, God, today you'd find good soil. Our hearts will be soft. Help us to hear your words and help us not only to hear them, but to do them this week. We pray that you would strengthen us, give us courage, send us out of this place stronger than we walked in, with more joy than we walked in, with more faith than we walked in. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we've had Christmas. It feels like a lifetime ago, but it was just a couple of weeks ago. And our present as parents to our kids, every year we buy them one joint present and then they've got individual presents. The joint present, don't laugh. The other two services laughed at me. The joint present was a treadmill. I don't know why that's funny. But anyway, they wanted a treadmill. Context, my daughter's doing a sports course. My boys are just football mad, so they just love fitness. So I'm like, let's get a treadmill, put it in the garage. Problem is, like, we didn't want to spoil, you know, give anything away, so we didn't want to set the treadmill up till Christmas Eve. And my kids, like 17, 14, and 11 now, they go to bed later than we do. I'm like, just go to bed, because I've got to set the treadmill up. And, well, I didn't say that, because that would have spoiled the surprise. But the problem as well is their rooms overlook the garage and they can see into it. So we're waiting for them to go to bed. We sneak in. They're in bed. This is Christmas Eve night. We're unpacking the treadmill, trying to work out how to put it up. We've also got our little torches. We don't want to put the light on because else they can see everything that's happening. So we've just got like our iPhone torch propped up, trying to see what's going on. How many people know when you're in the dark, you've got no instructions, it's really hard to put things together? We're struggling, trying to make things work. But you know, when we talk about making disciples, some of you thinking like us when it was putting that treadmill together in the dark, you don't want anyone to see what's happening. You feel like, how can I do that? How can I do it without an instruction manual, without knowing what we're doing, without the light being on? It's really hard to build something when you don't have instructions. And you can hear the commission and the call. I'm called not just to be a disciple, but to be a discipler. You can feel like, yes, God's called me. I've got a dream and purpose. It's one thing knowing that. It's another thing knowing how to do it. And today we're not just going to talk about the call and commission to be a discipler, but we're going to talk about how to disciple someone. And so I believe through the model and the teaching of Jesus, he's given us a way, really simply, how we can go out of this place and disciple the people in our lives. I want you to think about the people that God has positioned you with. Because there's people around you who are hungry for God. Maybe they've never even told you that. But last week we talked about the YouVersion Bible app. Did you know that in the UK, there's 3 million people going to church on a Sunday in the course of a month? And in the UK, there's 17 million people who have the Bible downloaded on their phone. You know what that shows us? There are people that are hungry for the Word of God, hungry for truth. And there'll be people in your life that are hungry for truth, hungry for something, hungry for purpose, hungry for a higher power in their language. And the answer is found in Jesus. And you are one conversation away from leading them to Christ. And so we've got to see all the people in our lives as potential disciples that we've been called to make disciples of them. And so as we speak about how to disciple, I want you to think about those. I want you to think about the youth ministry, the kids ministry in our church, people that are coming up behind you that God is calling and equipping you to disciple. So here we go. Four stages to discipleship as displayed by Jesus. And the first way is this. Show. Show. John chapter 1, verse 36 to 39. The next day, John was with two of his disciples, the cousin of Jesus. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said to them, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus simply said, "Come and you will see. Come and you will see." Jesus' invitation to these early followers, the early disciples, was not just to come and do a course. Jesus said, no, where I'm staying, come and follow me. Come and follow my way. Come and see what I'm doing. Come and see the way I speak. Come and see the way I operate. Come and see the way I treat others. And as I show you, it will cause you to see something different from the culture that's out there. And the same is true of us. If we want to disciple a generation, if God's called us to make disciples, then the first way is to simply show them through your life what it is to follow Jesus. You see, you don't need to be qualified for that. You don't need a theology degree. You don't need any of those things. All you need to do is simply open the word, obey the word, live it out, and your example can be a discipleship for other people. See, God has equipped you and sent you to disciple others. And the first way is by simply showing them what a Jesus follower looks like. You don't need to be weird tomorrow. You don't need to be overly spiritually spooky. You just need to live in the way of Christ. Follow him and let other people see. Paul showed this when he went to around the churches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. We read about the way he was showing others the way of Jesus. You know that we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for their children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Paul goes on to share to the church about the way he was living his life to simply be an example, to show them another way. And tomorrow you can show people in your lives another way. Everybody is living one way according to their belief system or the way they've been raised or the way the loudest voice is declaring over their life or the way social media is telling them you should live this way. But you, as a follower of Jesus, can simply show them the way of Jesus. And as you live the Jesus way, other people will take note. And they'll see something about you that's countercultural. And they'll come to a point where they ask you, "Tell me about the way you live." Take the pressure off. And this week, just start by showing them the way of Jesus. Second thing is this, is number one, show. Second way of discipleship, how to disciple, is to shape. There comes a moment where we not only show them by example, but we shape them in the way they think. We see in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when Jesus had finished praying, one of the disciples said to him, having observed, having seen Jesus show how to pray, the disciple says this, "Now teach us how to pray." Jesus, we've seen how you've lived. We've seen how you pray. But now, don't just show us how to do it, but teach us how to do it. Shape our thinking. Shape our belief systems so that we don't just know what to do, we know why we do it. In our discipleship, we should show another way, but not only leave it there. We need to be equipped ourselves to understand that when we show and people ask, we've got a reason for the hope we profess, the Bible says. We've got to understand that there is an argument from the Bible that gives us the why behind the what. See, Christianity is not just a behavioral modification religion. We're not just trying to get better at doing things and being seen to tick the boxes and live a certain way. And even as good as having a moral compass and trying to live according to certain things, you know, the goal isn't just to get better. The goal is to help people shape not only behavior, but to shape belief systems that transform the way they live, speak, and operate in life. And if we're going to do that, we're not only going to show them the way, but we've got to shape the way they think. And we do that through the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17, continue in what you have learned and you've become convinced of, revelation, because you know those from whom you've learned it and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, you've got to know what the Bible says in order to be wise and live the way of Jesus. We can't just hear the preacher on a Sunday and then try and live up to that all week. No. We've got to read the Word for ourselves and allow the Word of God to take root in our lives. And the way it takes root in our lives is by knowing the Word of God and allowing God to seal it through revelation. Because then the Bible says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, we then can't be convinced of any other way. You know, if you just hear what a preacher says and do it, all it takes is a good sound argument from somebody else and they convince you to live another way. But when you read the Word for yourself and it takes root in your life, revelation, and then no man's argument can change the way I live my life because I understand by the Word of God, by revelation, this is how we live. The Bible says in verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be good at what God's called you to do? The way to do it, read the Word. All Scripture is God-breathed. It will equip you for what God has called you to do. I say to my kids all the time, becoming teenagers, I'm like, the most important thing in your whole life for the rest of your life is how much you know the Word of God. If you don't know anything but you know the Word of God, you will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So make a habit of opening your Bible. Don't wait for youth on a Friday or church on a Sunday. Know the Word of God for yourself because that will shape the way you think, the way you believe, the way you speak, the way you treat others. We've got to make our own personal decision. Come on, let's be disciples first so that we can then disciple others. So we've got to show, we've got to shape. The third one is support. And this is where we come alongside others in their journey. We live a certain way to create a slipstream for others. People take note and go, wow, you're living another way. Teach me. And we explain. We shape them through the way they think and way they believe. And then after that, we come alongside them. I'm not teaching you from down there. I'm not speaking to you over there. I'm not showing you from a distance. I'm bringing you into my life so that we can do this life, this journey with Jesus together. And support brings people alongside. Who are you bringing alongside you in this life, in this Christian journey? See, Jesus in John chapter 6 is this chapter-defining moment where before he's been showing them, he's been performing miracles. And they've been like, wow, this guy, unbelievable. I mean, Jesus spits in people's faces and they get better. They're seeing something different. And then they're hearing this incredible teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. They're like, wow, this guy can preach. They're hearing this incredible wisdom. Like, where does this guy get this content from? And then in John chapter 6, he says, all right, enough. You've seen the way I've lived. You've heard my preaching. Now, it's your turn. And in John chapter 6, the Bible says there's 5,000 men plus women and children, and they are starving. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, we got a problem. They're like, yeah, you've got a problem. And he says, nah, you've got a problem. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Can you imagine in that moment? They're like, oh, we hadn't revised this question. I don't know what the answer is now, Jesus. And they're thinking, and then Jesus says, these people are hungry. They're like, yep, they're hungry. One of them says, this is going to take a lot of money to feed these people. And Jesus says, yep, what are you going to do about it? And what Jesus is doing, he's inviting them. I'm not going to show you, and I'm not going to shape you for too long. There comes a moment where you've got to step up, and you've got to be the disciple that God's called you to be. And you've got to step out on your own faith journey. And support doesn't leave people to it, but it brings people alongside. It walks with people on the faith journey. And every one of us should have people that we're bringing on this journey of faith. And some of the people don't yet know Jesus yet, and yet God is calling you to disciple them, to bring them on the journey. Maybe you need to prompt questions. Hey, have you really thought about life on this level? They're like, yeah, never thought about that. And we can begin to show people, shape people, and support people in their own personal relationship with Jesus. Fourth thing, quickly, is send. We've got to show, we've got to shape, we support, and then lastly, we send. In other words, we've got to equip people to live the purpose that God has for their life. We show them the way. We teach them. We support them, and then eventually we send them. We see this in Matthew chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus is called a prayer meeting. And they're all praying together and believing that the harvest is plentiful. The fields are ripe for harvest. And as they're praying and they're believing for cities to be transformed, praying for nations to be changed, and all the disciples are like, yes, come on, let's believe God, let's pray, let's believe for harvest. And there comes a moment where Jesus stops the prayer meeting and he turns to them and says, now I'm sending you out. You're not just going to pray for the harvest, you're going to be the harvest. And Jesus sends them out with the same authority that he has. And he says, now I'm sending you out to go and heal the sick. To see lives transformed. And so we got to be people that show a certain way, that live a way that people ask questions, that we teach them the why behind the what. We bring them on the journey of support. And eventually, the point is we multiply ourselves. See, every single person in here, you've got multiplication through your life. You can transform your community, your work environment, your neighborhood, simply by making a decision. I'm not just going to receive from God, but I've been called to be a disciple maker. I've been called to multiply my impact in the world. And we've got to understand that we're called to send out others. Who are the people around your life that you're releasing to live and operate and lead the way you lead your lives? We've got to look around our life and think, come on, God, there are people that you're calling me to disciple, to lift up, to show, to shape, to support, and to send. And then I get someone else, and we're going to show them, We're going to shape them. We're going to support them. And then we're going to send them. Maybe God's calling you to be part of the kids or the youth ministry. And we're going to show these kids and these youth. And then we're going to shape them. We're going to support them. And we're going to send them into schools and colleges and universities. There's people in your work environment. You're going to show them, you're going to shape them, you're going to support them, and you're going to send them. And that the impact through their life is going to go way beyond even the impact that you're making. And this is not just the spiritual elite call. This is every Christian's call. Every one of us is called to be a disciple and to make disciples. And God is calling you today, but He's also equipping you today. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He's going to fill us to go again, to go and reach out into our worlds, our communities, our neighborhoods, and say, God, who are you putting in my world to show, to shape, to support, to send, to show, to shape, to support, and to send? Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to believe right now the Holy Spirit's going to move in this place. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. We thank you for your supernatural power available to every single one of us. Thank you, God, that even as we gather today, we know, according to your word, that your presence is here, manifest, real, tangible. That you do something when your people meet together. We pray right now that you come and move in this place through every aisle, every seat, every row, and every heart and every mind. Thank you, God, at the start as we put our hand on our heart, Lord, give us a soft heart. Pray your word right now would be finding good soil. That the word today would find the roots would go down deep. That you cause us to be strong, stable, consistent, faithful disciples. You cause us with a newfound courage and strength, empowered by the Holy Spirit. You cause us to be strong disciples wherever we go this week. But not only that, you'd give us vision beyond ourselves. You'd put other people on our heart. Even right now, I pray, remind us of people that you're calling us to reach, to impact, to influence. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just receive the Holy Spirit. Right now, receive the supernatural power of God.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.